Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Time for the Week in Health, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Dr. Santina Wheat joining us, Program Director, McGaw Northwestern Family Medicine, Residency, Northwestern Medicine, Del Norte Hospital. Dr. Wheat, very, very nice to have you here with us as always. It was a week ago that this horrific story of the murders of Rob Reiner and his wife Michelle were broadcast, and we've learned so much since then. Their son, Nick, has been arrested and charged with the murders of his parents. Some of the side stories on this are kind of interesting about mental health warnings that, you know, we talk about, you know, physical health problems all the time. We don't really talk about mental health problems as well. But what are some of the kinds of things that people should kind of keep an eye out for that might signal disturbing behavior or problems that are coming?
Yeah, good morning. This is absolutely a heart-wrenching story. And from what I have seen in some of these stories, it was really looking at schizophrenia. And this is just a disease that really can really impact so many and really impact the entire family. And the things to look at are can be different for each person that is impacted by this disease. And we sort of see two separate sets of symptoms. We see things that are additive and things that are taking away. So the additive, they might be hallucinations, they might be delusions, they might be really being paranoid or thinking that someone is out to get them or things are out to get them, and they can be disorganized and just have thoughts and movements that just sort of seem surprising and even bizarre. And then the other side of it is negative, where they really just lack motivation. They really withdraw socially. They stop taking care of themselves, have poor hygiene, and really don't have any sort of expression to them. Maybe don't have happiness or sadness even that you can see on their faces. And it can really just sort of build, and it can be quite scary.
Yeah. Is it always dangerous if someone is exhibiting warning signs like that?
It's not always dangerous. It's always something that you probably want to look into a little bit more. And just like with anything, we all respond a little bit differently. So sometimes it can be more minor symptoms and controllable, especially if you can get treatment early on. It's not always an aggressive response. Sometimes it really is just more of a withdrawn response, but it can be hard to tell who will respond which way. And so I always advocate for getting therapy and medication treatment when possible.
What's the difference between schizophrenia and depression and, you know, some of the common mental health ailments that we hear and read about?
So it's challenging because sometimes you can have multiple. They can be overlapped. In something like depression, this is much more common in our population. It can be a little bit easier to treat with both therapy and medication. We have some more proven things that work a little bit faster. But if somebody has significant depression, they can still have hallucinations. They're less likely to have the things like the aggressive things that we might see. They're less likely to have some of the paranoia that happens. And they're more likely to just not engage as much with everyone around them. The schizophrenia really, it's scary because the hallucinations can give them harmful thoughts, either towards themselves or towards other people. And so that tends to be the thing that I worry about the most as a distinction.
Yeah. Well, what's the best way to deal with it if you recognize some of these characteristics in a loved one? Do you ignore them? Do you institutionalize them? You know, a lot of people have said that tough love is the way to do it, that, you know, you snap out of it or get out? You know, what's the recommended way to deal with it?
So I don't think that there's a completely right answer, and particularly for schizophrenia, there is not a cure. And so it is ongoing, lifelong treatment that's necessary. Some of it is medication, some of it's therapy, but one of the most important things really is support, and that is supportive environments that help provide structure to daily functioning. And so that is hard to just sort of ignore and send someone out. The other problem is that often alcohol and drugs can be involved because it's a way to self-treat. And so really trying to ensure that those things are managed and taken away can be really important. And getting into therapy, including family therapy, is really important in one of these because it allows for support for the loved ones that are watching their family member go through this. So really ensuring that there's environments that are supportive and being there as much as possible, though realizing that we do also have to sometimes protect ourselves, and sometimes that does mean stepping away from the person, which can feel horrible.
Right. Mary Kate, you're on WGN with Dr. Santina Wheat.
Well, you've answered some of my questions, but one of the problems I have is that my daughter is 27 years old. And when she's been suffering since she was 12. And one of the problems we have now is that we can't do anything. You know, she's an adult, and we're trying everything we can. We've tried to step away. We just feel awful.
Now, you're saying that your daughter is going through many of the things that we've talked about with possible schizophrenia, with all the kinds of behaviors that we've talked about, and you must be at your wit's end about all of
that. Very much so. Very much so. You know, for instance, yesterday she gave us a call, and she was just totally hysterical. And we, you know, suggested coming over, had her come over to our place, whatever, and she just wants to be left alone. And so I spent the last 12 hours on the phone or texting her every couple hours to make sure she's alive.
Yeah, Dr. Wheat, any thoughts, any advice?
I'm so sorry. That's such a difficult situation. I think that the biggest recommendation I would make sure is that you're being taken care of, that you're seeing someone that can help you process and help you make sure that you're setting limits while taking care of yourself. Sometimes I remind people that this is one of those things that we sometimes will need to use our police teams for doing well-being checks, making sure that folks are okay. And sometimes our hands are just tied. You're absolutely right. With adults, it is different than when we have teenagers or adolescents and they're still in our homes. But this is just something that's sort of ongoing, and we don't always have a right answer for.
Yeah, that's okay. That's a tough one. Boy, I'm so sorry that you went through that, Mary Kate.
So sorry.
And she's a beautiful young lady, too, and that's what's very difficult.
Yeah. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
I hope, are you seeking out some counsel for yourself in addition to trying to provide whatever help you can for your daughter?
You know, I haven't, but I never thought about it until I'm just listening to you. And I think I will now, because I think I do need it.
Yeah.
We all need support.
As much help as you can get with this. You've got a tough problem. Good luck to you with that, and thank you very much for sharing that with us. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you, guys. I listen to you all the time.
Thank you.
And you brought a lot of help to me.
Well, appreciate your call, and hope that everything, you know, starts to turn around a little bit. That is a tough one to deal with. Well, let's. I want to shift gears a little bit as we get into the holiday season here and holiday gatherings. You know, people are going to be at parties together and sharing foods together and sharing meals Where should people be right now, Dr. Wheat, with vaccinations? Let's get a quick vaccination update of what we need to be doing right now.
Absolutely. I am hoping that people are vaccinated at this point. We definitely do have lots of things that are going around right now. We have definitely started seeing more influenza A around, so I'm hoping that people are vaccinated. It doesn't always prevent you from getting it, but it can help it not be quite so bad and allows you to recover a little bit faster. I do absolutely still recommend that people get the COVID vaccine, particularly if you are high risk, as we're going and spending time with people. If you are not yet up to date, I recommend that you be up to date with your tetanus vaccine because that also covers you for pertussis or the whooping cough. And then also if you're of the age recommending RSV vaccines and pneumonia vaccines, those are all of the things that we're seeing right now. Definitely seeing an increase in people getting sick. And the best thing that you can do is do your best to prevent it if you are to be exposed.
Yeah, now hopefully you're keeping great records. I suspect that most people are not. Is there a central place to go to look to see what did I get vaccinated for and when? Do I need to get boosters on some things? Am I okay with others? Is there one central place online that you can go to find out that information?
That's a great question. If you are not physically uploading them to places, and that is not necessarily a straightforward answer, but if you are seeking healthcare with a place that has some sort of my chart that my organization uses, Epic, and so that's what it looks like, but some sort of online portal, then you can make sure that vaccines that you get anywhere are pulled into that portal and then you can see them. And then most of these portals do actually have a reminder of when you're due for things. So whether you get it done at the pharmacy or at your physician's office, then it can all come together. And that's something that is newer, actually, since we had COVID, where the Illinois, at least if you're in Illinois, all of the vaccines are put into a centralized place and we're able to see that.
Yeah.
So that's my best recommendation, is to go into your portal and just make sure that when you have them, that it's showing up there, and then it'll give you reminders.
Yeah, because so many of us, you know, for when vaccinations were scarce, you would get vaccinated, you know, any place that would, where you could get in.
Right.
So, you know, for a lot of the vaccinations, we're not even sure. And you go to your doctor and they, I've been surprised going to my doctor a few times and they say, we're out of it. We don't have it. It's like, you mean I can go to the Jewel Osco and get vaccinated, but I can't at my doctor's office. So, you know, you're getting vaccinated wherever you can. And it's a little bit hard to keep track of all that stuff. Well, good to know that there's a way to, you know, kind of crystallize all of that. Just real quick, it was announced this week that the classification of marijuana could be changing sometime soon, making it more readily available to people. There are plenty of medical uses for marijuana. What are some of those uses, Doctor?
Yeah, so this is an interesting conversation that I think is going to be evolving over the next year or so. We have been using components of marijuana for a while for some things, such as chronic pain, particularly for folks who are battling cancer and have pain from their cancer. We've also been using it for folks who have vomiting and nausea that's associated with some of their cancer treatments. We've been doing that for a while. And then sometimes for folks who are really struggling with their appetite and are unable to really eat and stay at a healthy weight, we've been using components of that too. And then now we're seeing more studies that are going into mood disorders, whether it's severe depression and other things. We are seeing more and more studies about that. Sometimes the data is mixed, but I think that this reclassification will allow us to learn more and see what benefits there can be. But really, some of the chronic diseases that we don't have great treatments for, sometimes marijuana is being shown to be helpful with things like appetite, pain, and nausea.
Yeah, as you say, I'm sure we'll be talking about this much more in the future. A texter from the 708 area code says, tell the woman who on the phone, the listener that we talked to a moment ago, Mary Kate, to go to the local community mental health agency, call the village where she lives to locate one. They can provide all means of support, resources, and strategies, including guardianship and psychiatric care. Kathy from Oak Park writes that in and says, I worked at one for 37 years. So that may be a resource for her as well. Dr. Weed, thank you very much as always. Happy holidays to you and your family. Dr. Santino Weed, thank you from McGaw Northwestern Family Medicine, Delner Hospital. Merry Christmas to you. Thank you very much.
Merry Christmas. Have a great week.